Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Booth 61. Featuring movers and shakers on the Atlanta tech scene, organizations serving the tech market, and the inspired people who lead them. Now here's your host, Ricky Steele.
Welcome and thank you for visiting Booth 61. I am Ricky Steele, and I passionately serve as the Chief Development Officer for Hunter Technical Resources, Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm. We have a very exciting show for you today, and I'm quite honored that I have guests that have driven up from where I grew up, way down in Columbus, Georgia. Many of you are familiar with the great city of Columbus, about 10-15 miles to our southwest. And I'm very excited because we're going to be talking about a lot of friends of mine, a lot of things that are going on in Columbus, and hearing about where I first began college in 1971 at what was called Columbus College at that time, now Columbus State University. I'm very excited about this show, really on multiple levels. Many of you that follow the show know that our goal is to build community and to allow the rising tide to lift all the boats. Well, I think that's what my guests are doing on a regular basis in Columbus, Georgia, but not just in Columbus, also in Atlanta and throughout the Southeast. They drove up this morning. We had a great lunch, and I'm very excited about them being here. As I mentioned earlier, I grew up down in Columbus, Georgia, and been in Atlanta about the last 28 years, but I love Columbus. It's a great city. It'll always be near and dear to my heart. My mom and dad lived there until they both passed in 2002. I actually went from kindergarten to college within a mile of my home, finally reaching Columbus College in 1971, when I think it was about three or four buildings at the time. My guests today are Dr. Ed Helton, who is Executive Director of the Leadership Institute at Columbus State University, and Kim Rosicki, who is the Director of Events and Operations at the Cunningham Center at Columbus State University. Kim is also the producer of the upcoming Jim Blanchard Leadership Forum. Welcome to Booth 61, Ed and Kim.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. We're happy to be here.
Well, we're excited. Pretty good lunch, too. Wasn't too bad at all, was it?
Very good.
Delicious.
We had some catfish. We're not sure it came out of the Chattahoochee, but it was good catfish nonetheless.
I didn't get lunch.
You should have come with us. You should have come with us.
I know.
We were
I feel
goldfish.
Ripped off.
That was really good. Kim, you're a Columbus native, and Ed, you came from the great city of Hertzboro, Alabama. You've both been in Columbus, you know, a long, long time and in and around the Columbus area. I just thought in getting started, you know, to talk a little bit about yourself, but also to tell me what is something interesting about Columbus that you'd want to share to our viewers. And we actually have viewers in the technology community here in Atlanta, but we've had them globally around the world. And last week, Dell, the guest we had last week, actually was produced and spent a week on the front page of Michael Dell's personal Facebook page. And so we've been getting hits from all around the world. So no telling where people are listening. But what would you say to them interesting about Columbus, Georgia, Kim?
Well, I think a lot of people are very familiar with our very famous Aflac duck, mm-hmm. which was, of course, born in our world headquarters of Aflac in Columbus, Georgia. But also, one thing that people may not be aware of is that Columbus is the original birthplace of Coca-Cola. And people in Atlanta may be surprised to hear that, but that is actually true. It was originated from a formula at Dr. Pemberton's home in our historic district. And so we claim not only Aflac, but Coca-Cola as well. And another new and interesting development in Columbus in the last year is that we have the longest urban whitewater course in the world. And so you can whitewater raft right behind some of our biggest companies in downtown Columbus, Georgia. So it's a great environment. It's a very historic and very beautiful setting for an afternoon on the whitewater. So I'd like to encourage all of our Atlanta friends to come south to do that.
Ed, how about you?
Yeah, one of the neat things is when they come through the whitewater, they come right through our campus. And what's interesting to me, growing up in that area as a child, probably as you did, coming with your parents to watch the Christmas parade out on Broad, and then moving away, growing up, and seeing the really deterioration of downtown to where just open buildings and just in such disrepair. And really through the inspiration of Bill Turner and Columbus State University, we've invested over $100 million downtown, Columbus downtown is revitalized with the university's presence. We have over 500 students living downtown. We have a shuttle that runs every 30 minutes transporting people from our main campus to our downtown campus, where we have the River Center, the theater, the art department. It's just amazing to see in a town like ours, where so often the downtown becomes non-relevant, to be a vibrant, vibrant place now in Columbus. And that's, to me, very inspiring.
As one who doesn't get to Columbus near as often as I would like, it is absolutely amazing what you've done downtown. I think when I moved out of Columbus, basically downtown was a bunch of jean shops and tattoo parlors and a little of this, a little bit of that. But now you've got the beautiful River Center that Bill Hurd was part of having built, and it's part of the college as well. You've got dormitories or buildings you've converted into dormitories. And I think the entire music department of Columbus State University is now housed downtown. Is that correct?
That's correct. The Swab School of Music adjoins the River Center for the Performing Arts. And it was a collaborative effort, still is, with the university, with the community, with the city. And it really speaks of something that has been unique to Columbus. And that is a term that you hear very, very often, the public-private partnership. With public institutions like the CSU, the city, et cetera, and private investors, people who have really been a part of our community joining together. And thus we have so many great things like that, including now the National Infantry Museum, which is just a masterpiece to go along with all the other things that are within just a short distance from our downtown campus.
And I believe there's even a new project that maybe has not been formally announced, but something that's going to be around the river that Mr. Turner and others are behind, that's going to honor the military in downtown Columbus with remembrances of soldiers who have given their life in the service of our country.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
I believe they're asking families to submit letters and things that they received during the different wars in order to have a really personal look into those soldiers' lives. So that's going to be a nice, very nice tribute and exhibit.
Yeah, a memory walk, I think, is will be a part of that right on the river.
We certainly want to give a shout-out, if he happens to be listening, God bless you, sir, to Mr. William B. Turner, whose grandfather was the first chairman of the board of the Coca-Cola Company, and he served on the board himself, great philanthropist, and the author of a book called A Journey Toward Servant Leadership. Mr. Turner's a Georgia Tech graduate, so he's got an Atlanta flavor to him. But in addition, he's just one of the greatest human beings that I've ever been privileged to meet. And I look forward to seeing him at the upcoming Jim Blanchard Conference in late August. But let's talk a little bit about Columbus State University and all the things you're involved in right now. When I was at Columbus State, I think we had a student body of about 17 and about three buildings. Actually, it was probably in the low thousands. But what does Columbus State look like now, size-wise, students and faculty and the buildings and the campus? You just mentioned a $100 million addition in downtown Columbus. Just maybe flush that a little bit for me, Ed, if you would.
Well, this year we'll have enrolled 8,300 to 8,500 students. As you know, when Columbus College began, it was built as a commuter college. Now we are a regional university, part of the University of Georgia system. We have recruiters that live in the Atlanta area that recruit students, and we have students coming from all over the state, the majority of our students, with a huge portion from the Atlanta metro area. We do have about 8,300 or so students with faculty support of around 550. We had this past year our largest graduation class in the history of the university. We graduated we awarded 769 degrees at that time. Over 500 were undergraduate students. And then we, as you see by that number, the rest being graduate degrees, we've had a huge increase in our graduate programs and our interest in those programs. Many of those online. Our business school was awarded the best online MBA in our region. And so a lot of academic process improvement, obviously the structural improvement that we've had. It's a vibrant regional university right now.
And the new president, somewhat new president over the last maybe 4 or 5 years.
Just celebrating 5 years.
5 years. Dr. Tim Mescon, which many people in Atlanta will remember, was the dean of business at the Coles College at Kennesaw State University. Dear friend of mine and a guy that I just think the world of from having known him in business circles here in Atlanta. But I think Tim has brought a little vibrancy, and Tim is a go-getter. You use a lot of great words about what Tim is, but go-getter and forward thinker and really a guy that pushes the envelope, and I think Tim's probably done a great job of that in Columbus as well.
Well, if you look at what has happened in a short 5 years, if you combine this all together, in the last 5 years, we have had almost a 40% decrease in funding from the state, as the state has had to be very fiscally restrained, if you will. And at the same time those decrease in state funds were happening, we have been rated as one of the top 50 public universities in the Southeast, one of the top 150 in the nation. Number 11, 12, something like that, is the most affordable universities. And the emphasis right now is certainly to structurally continue to develop downtown, which we are looking at some other building as well and some other colleges going downtown, but mainly strengthening our academic program to be rigorous. We've done that by increasing the level of students and their scoring on standardized testing to get into the university, and at the same time we have raised our standards. Our enrollment has continued to go up, and so it's nothing less than remarkable what Tim has done in these 5 years. And we look forward now to, as we were a part of trying to think through our strategic plan, what are the next big steps that we need to be taking, and we're looking at those right now.
One of the business books that really had a big impact on my life in the 80s was a book that I'm not sure he was a doctor at that point, but Dr. Tim Mescon and his father, who was a doctor at that time, Dr. Michael Mescon, wrote. And it was basically, I can't remember the exact title of it, but the whole premise was 90% of success is showing up on time and being prepared when you show up. And so many people don't do that. And I know that the Leadership Institute at Columbus State University not only preaches that, but preaches a lot about the power of leadership, and Leadership Institute is a big component at Columbus State University. Maybe walk us through a little bit about how that started and kind of what you're doing now with the Leadership Institute.
Well, I think that I don't know who said this, so I don't know who to attribute it to. Many claim it, but the statement that everything rises and falls on leadership is pretty accurate. President Kennedy said years ago that you really can't separate education and leadership. And we feel that a college or a university like ours, with the resources that we have, can make a great contribution to our region by helping both public and private companies, nonprofits, et cetera, develop, make more skilled their leaders, and they will be able to perform, and those companies will do better, the region will do better, we'll all do better. And one of the kind of the counterintuitive things that we have discovered, we began 9 years ago. And 9 years ago, though there were some economic issues, things were going fairly well. But then the crunch came. And so organizations, companies are looking where they can squeeze out some dollars. And so personnel cost is their greatest cost. So then they begin to look at lowering their numbers, scaling back their personnel, and at the same time scaling back their budget. So we really didn't know how that would affect us. But then we begin to see that companies that were very successful during these downtimes understood that when they scaled back their workforce, they were not scaling back the workload, that people were having to do more and to do it well. And so for them not to burn out those folks and also to meet the demands of the customers and clients, they had to have people that were stepping up their game. And while there may have been institutional training for them in their businesses, companies were having to hire all these people to do the training, benefits, and et cetera. And then they discovered one of the real things that they could do that makes very good, sustainable success and a return on investment is to use an organization like ours that's university-based and allow us to work with them and their company and their people to help them, equip them to handle the workloads that they're having and also the other issues. And so rather than our business suffering, we found more demand and have increased every year in the number of clients and the organizations we work with.
So walk me through that a little bit. So within the university, within the Leadership Institute, you have a consulting practice, if you will, that provides training, provides maybe written material and actually instructors who will either bring the companies into Columbus State and to the facilities you have located there, or you'll go out and about into their company headquarters and do the training there. So it's basically a consultancy within part of the university. Is that
kind of
what
I'm hearing? It's a university-based consulting firm.
Okay, that's kind of where I was trying to get.
That's exactly what we are.
That's unique.
It is. And we have partnerships with our Butler Center for Economic Research and our Turner College of Business, with our IT program, with our social research. So we can offer a pretty good portfolio of things that we can do to help your organization from the research component, but also from the training aspect of it. There are some fundamental things that we know that every company has to focus on and get right. When General Petraeus was a speaker at our Blanchard Forum, and he then was in charge of Central Command, he made a comment in a speech that if you get the big things right, the little things take care of themselves. And that really resonated with us. And so we began to think, what are the big things an organization has to get right? And we came up with four, and we build our training as the whole flow of these or as individual components. The first being vision. You know, you got to know where you're going. You got to have not only just a vision that the CEO knows, but something that I know. One of the companies that we work with, they build these manufacturers, these small blades that goes into both military and commercial jets. At the same place, they also build artificial knees. And so we had them together, and we were discussing with them and creating their vision, and one of their guys came up with just the perfect vision statement. We propel the world. That's what they do. Everybody knows it. Everybody can quote it. If you go to Carmack Theaters and you see on the screen the best hometown theater in America, and those are the vision statements that we like to help companies craft, because then they can build the next component, which is their strategy. How do we do this? How do we reach this vision? So we do a lot of strategic planning with organizations all over the region. We did the 10-year plan to end homelessness for the city. We did a strategic plan for the city of Roswell here in the Atlanta area.
Well, that's unique.
Yep. We did a 5-year plan for our school district, et cetera. And then once you have a strategy, the execution phase, which is many say the most difficult, you got to have people that can do it. You got to have the resources. So that's where we come in, and we help determine what are the competencies that your people need, what are the values they need to exhibit, and we develop a suite of training for that. And then the one component that is often missed that we feel very, very strongly about is how do you measure this? How do you know if you make any progress? How do you know if you're making having any success? It's kind of like when your children were young and they would come up to you and they would perform or do something and they'd say, "How am I doing?" I think everybody wants to know that, and certainly if I'm a CEO, I want to know how we're doing. And so we don't want to train so that they get away from work and have a good time, but we want to something that's vision, strategy, and then developing those leaders and then measuring to make sure that we're making progress. And that's the general suite or focus of what we do, and then we break that down into all competency training, et cetera.
So would this be something that perhaps you and Kim would go on site and lead for an extended period of time, or would you find leaders within their organization, train them to do it, or do you have a cadre of staff back at Columbus State that you could send in almost like a deployment unit? You could drop in 3 or 4 people to stay for a week, a month, whatever the case might be.
Sure.
And little of all?
And that's what we do now. We have a beautiful center, the Cunningham Center. We can seat up to 350 people at a banquet style, but we have also classrooms for various size groups. And really the vision was early on that many of these groups would come there for their training, and they have. What we're finding now is it is cheaper for us, for the client, for us to go on site than them to have all their people travel to our site, and more that we do regionally. We're working with a client just met with yesterday, which will be traveling to Birmingham, Alabama, to Pensacola, Florida, to North Georgia, to the Atlanta metro area, because we can do, you know, a two-day training around. They cannot afford to bring, house, feed, et cetera, plus pull all these people away from work. So we do a lot more now on site because it's more economical. We do have people who are that work with me that are extremely skilled at doing this, and then we also have some faculty from the College of Business and some of the other colleges that I can bring in as subject experts.
So I believe you told me that you had been up here last week and you would be up here again this Friday.
That's
with
correct.
An actual corporation or privately held or publicly held here in Atlanta that you're doing this kind of work for. So you're fully available to do this work for any company in Atlanta listening or any company in the Southeast for that matter.
Exactly. We one of our initiatives, though we began in Columbus, is to enlarge our footprint. So much of training that is available, one has to travel to. And a lot of training is online now, which we believe should support human interaction rather than replace it. We have clients, active clients here in the Atlanta metro area. You're exactly right. We're in the process of hiring someone who will live here in Atlanta, who will be helping us in business development. We do work in Washington, D.C. as well with some of our political figures. As well as some of the other areas that we are negotiating with now in the government.
Well, take a point of personal privilege as the host of this show and tell anyone listening, if you need some strategic help, I know these people, although I had not met Ed and Kim before today, I know Jim Blanchard, I know Bill Turner, I know Steve Butler. I grew up with these people, and I promise you the principles that they share and the integrity that they have, you can not do anything but walk away a 100% winner in your organization if you would engage them in any sort of endeavor. And I say that with all my heart and soul connected to it. So I think that's exciting, Ed.
And Kim will talk about this a bit more, but our partnership with Jim Blanchard, of course, we think much of him in Columbus because of his leadership, his generosity, et cetera. I was, you know, texting him actually today about a speaker that we're working on, and he is fully invested in a lot of the things that we do. I've used him, asked him to come and speak to a group. I've had Mr. Turner come and speak. I've had Steve Butler come and speak. Mark Olivier, new CEO at the Bradley Company. Within our city, I can call on people like Dan Amos with Aflac, and they engage with us, which I think speaks a lot about the credibility they hold Columbus State University and the Leadership Institute.
Well, tell us about some of the different assessments that you're certified in at this point, some of the different tools you're using to do some of this work.
A number of years ago, the Board of Advisors at Stanford University, they did a, you know, these people all over the world, and they did a survey, and they were asking, and one of the questions they asked them, what are some critical competencies a leader must have in today's complex world? And number one, which we see that in other research now, was self-awareness. A leader needs to know who he or she is. They need to know what they're good at. They need to know what they're not good at. They need to know what their tendencies are. The more they can know about themselves, the better they're able to deliver and leverage their strengths. And so that's when we got into the assessment business, if you will. We do a number of them. The tried and true is Myers-Briggs, the MBTI, the type indicator. Many, many assessments that have come later are based upon the work of Jung and then the Myers-Briggs team. We use one called FIBOR B, which is the one that was constructed by the Navy, actually, a number of years ago. When they confine people on these ships for a long period of time, you know, how will they react? And so it measures your willingness to be inclusive or to be by yourself or how do you handle those kinds of things. We do the Thomas Kilman conflict instrument to determine how do we handle conflict. We do personality profiles like emergenetics, how you process information, DISC, how you communicate, the Hogan assessment, which we have used now and use a lot because it can predict how a person will react or behave under stressful situations. It's more of a potential measurement than revealing maybe how you process information. One of the ones that that I'm really excited about because it's so relevant. Again, we're hearing these words used a lot, and so we made sure that we had the skill sets, and that is emotional intelligence, you know, not only for an individual but for a team. And emotional intelligence measures how do you manage yourself, how do you manage others, how do others react to you, and how do you react in social groups and settings. And we had found that very effective leaders have a very high level of emotional intelligence. They're very in tune with their own self, and they're very in tune with how other people are reacting to them. Just a quick anecdote for me that, and Kim can give you the negative on this, but when I get under stress and tension, my facial expressions and my voice become very stern. I don't mean it, but it does. And it can be very difficult when I come down and ask someone for a piece of information, and I stand there with that stern look and that tone of voice, and they're scrambling around trying to find it because they don't want to disappoint me, and I'm making them nervous by doing it. So I finally asked one of the directors I work with, I said, tell me, what am I doing? And she said, you don't smile. I said, what do you mean, I don't smile? She said, you don't smile. And then I thought about it, and she was right. And it's not my tendency to do that in stressful situations. Now, because emotional intelligence, I have a trigger. I'll put my finger to my lips, and it reminds me, smile. It's amazing the results I get when people relax and are not intimidated, and they can then do their best work, which is what I really want and what they really want. And to me, that's a great example of what I was not in tune with, but when I was alerted through an emotional intelligence conversation, it was quickly remedied. Still have to work on it, but that's what those assessments will do.
I think a very bright guy a long time ago said something close to that when he said, a merry heart does good like a medicine.
Yep.
And everybody needs a little healing every once in a while, and that smile will do it. So yep. That was a great find for you, I would imagine.
Indeed was. Indeed it was. And it has to be, you know, something I'm continually self-aware. It's a discipline, or else we default right back into old behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the industries that you've been most successful in this new part of the venture at Columbus State University? Some of the industries you've been involved in and use the assessment tools you've mentioned, and then come out with some strong recommendations, and they were able to actually change their business and change their direction. You don't have to give us exact names of the companies, but
right.
what are some of those, kind of an example or two of something like that?
Well, our first customer was in the education realm.
Okay.
And it was Muskogee County Education District. And the superintendent and the deputy superintendent at that time, we talked with them, and then we did some interviews for them, and I ran into a principal, and I'm not saying it's that way now, but then I ran into a principal who was extremely successful, and I said, tell me about the training that you received to be principal. And she said, well, they gave me the keys and said, we hope you have a nice summer. And so we identified a real gap. A good teacher goes to be a lead teacher, to be an assistant principal, and to be a principal, but there was no training. There was a lot of product knowledge, but it's a big difference in staying in a classroom and leading teachers and an institution. So we discovered that. Then we got a rather large client in the health industry, and we did training for their top leadership, et cetera. We've done a lot with some nonprofits. Those are always interesting because they are dependent upon volunteers, both money-wise and people-wise, who don't have to come to training. We work for the state of Georgia. We still do a lot of work with the tourism division, the Georgia Convention and Visitors Bureaus. This September, we'll do two classes again with at the Governor's Conference. We also do their winter meeting, and we develop for them it's called a Leadership Excellence Certification. It's a 3-year program. They come to their conferences. They take these classes, and then they're certified. And then we also developed a benchmark for a CVB organization for it to be certified or accredited as having met certain benchmarks as an organization. So a lot of work in that area, education, medicine. Our business clients are from very small family-owned businesses to very, very large companies. You mentioned Aflac earlier. Companies at that stage, we're doing some work now with I guess some of the larger companies in Columbus and a couple up here in Atlanta as well.
Well, that's great. That's great. At lunch, we talked about the power of knowledge, and you mentioned it earlier in the comment from President Kennedy. I am someone that cannot read enough. I want to know what's going on. I want the latest book. I want to hear it. And I don't read. My wife gets on me at summer about this because I don't read anything for pleasure as a novel or a beach book or whatever. But I consider every book I read pleasurable because I want the knowledge. Mm. And I'm a big fan of Seth Godin, who's going to be at the conference this year, and we'll talk about the conference in a few minutes. But for you and Kim, who are some of your favorite business authors and maybe a book or two you'd like to share with the audience that maybe they'll run out and pick up and perhaps read before this summer's over with?
Well, I don't know if I'd classify this as beach reading, but I did a master's executive education course at Harvard recently, And the guy who taught this, Ronald Heifetz, who has been teaching at Harvard for 30 years, he was a medical doctor, then a psychiatrist, and then he got his PhD. It's the most transformational class I've ever had on leadership. And I would recommend any of his books. One particularly is called Leadership Without Easy Answers. And to me, if I'm going to be a CEO in today's culture, that's a must-read. An absolute must-read.
Spell his last name for us, if you would.
H-E-I-F-E-T-Z, Heifetz.
Great, thank you.
Another book, which is a fiction. A guy by the name of Yalom, Y-A-L-O-M, who is a professor emeritus of psychiatry at Stanford, still practices, has written a number of books. A friend of mine gave me one, and now I'm reading all that he writes because he is the guru for group therapy. And so you find a lot of textbooks, classrooms using him. But he uses his teaching tools in writing novels about Nietzsche, Schopenhauer, Spinoza. And you really learn a lot about the human psyche. I have found those, and I'm kind of reading one right after another now, to be some of the most helpful books I've read in dealing with leaders and dealing with myself and some of these issues. You know, we're perhaps more sophisticated, but, you know, from a philosophy background, human beings really hadn't changed a whole lot. It's just the understanding of those things that make us who we are. I found these to be very helpful.
That's great. Kim, how about you?
Well, of course, you can never fail with some of our former speakers, John Maxwell and Pat Lencioni, who have both written, you know, stacks of books that would cover our table here. I think you can really learn a lot just from those very basic leadership concepts, you know, the five dysfunctions of a team and the levels of leadership. And so for someone who's just wanting to get a good, just dive in, get some foundational leadership, I think you can't go wrong with either of those.
Yeah, and to back up what she's saying, Lencioni's three signs of a miserable job should be required for every supervisor.
Mm-hmm. My all-time favorite business book today, and that changes fairly often, but it's been a while, and I got a trunk full of them, is called the Love is the Killer App. And in technology, we're always looking for the next Google or YouTube or whatever the case might be. But Tim Sanders, who was the chief evangelist at Yahoo, wrote this book called, and he says, Love is the Next Killer App. And he talks about his love cat buddies like Tom Peters and this, that, and the other. But the principles in that book have probably had as much to do with a lot of the way that I behave today as anything I've read. So there's a lot of great books out there, but what are some of the biggest mistakes you see? And then I want to transition into the Blanchard Conference. But in the consulting practice, again, what are some of the biggest mistakes you're seeing companies making today that you are helping address in the process?
The one great example, we were working with an agency and thought we were making some pretty good progress. There was a new director who came in that ran that particular branch of the organization, and his comment was, we hire people who are leaders. They don't need any training. The most common mistake is that people assume that they know enough to do effectively what they do. All the great leaders I've been around and with the forum and others, I've had an opportunity to sit face to face with some pretty substantial, successful people. When I was talking with General Colin Powell, who went on to be, as you know, Secretary of State, you know, he said what you said. He's always learning. He's always trying to figure out something different. He's trying to figure out the new way to handle the the electronics that we have. And I think if there is any, there are two systemic things that are struggles. One is to assume that people know how to do what you've asked them to do with little or no training. And then organizations struggle with accountability. How do you hold people accountable? How does that differ from micromanagement? We see in every organization that issue. It's coupled with communication. A lot of times people don't do because they've never been clearly had it explained to them what they've been asked to do. But I would say the two systemic things is the issue of accountability or of not holding people accountable, and also the assumption that we're doing just fine, like we are, and then you wake up one day and you find out we were not doing so good. If a company is willing, and going back to our Jim Blanchard, at its peak, he said Synovus was successful because we invested in our people. He gets it. A company that does that has the greatest chance of succeeding. And it's not just because you have a culture or you call it a family culture or whatever you want to call it. It's because not only do they give them the tools and the resources, they measure and they hold people accountable. And most people want that because we want basically to do the right thing. So those are two of the big challenges. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what the statistics are, but I know that one of the top reasons for dissatisfaction in the workplace by employees is not being given the opportunity to grow their skills and to develop professionally. If you're just in a dead-end job and you're just expected to continue to do the same thing and you're not given an opportunity to be better, then that's a frustrating environment to be in, and so that causes a lot of dissatisfaction. So consequently, that'll translate into a lot of turnover as well.
And you're going to see that a lot in the generations in the workplace right now. They want to have opportunities. They want to be invested in. And companies that want to keep the best and the brightest are going to have to do that, or they'll go where they can find that. They're far more – it's not like maybe when your dad or mine had a loyalty to the organization that he worked for, because that has just changed, and now their loyalty is to themselves. So what are you doing for me? Not in a bad sense, but how are you investing and giving me opportunities? If you don't do it, you're going to lose the best and brightest.
And I think there's no question about that. I like to use the analogy or the kind of try to make a little humor of things, but I tell folks on a regular basis that if they think they've learned everything there is to learn, that they pretty much ought to call Patterson's funeral home and have somebody come pick them up.
Yep.
Because they're dead. They just don't know it yet. And I think when we quit learning, we die and we shrivel up inside. And so it's a lifetime process. But a big part of how I have stayed in touch with Columbus State University is through the Jim Blanchard Leadership Forum, which I think is in its seventh or eighth year, maybe even longer. But, Kim, that's kind of one of your babies. Tell us about how it came into being and kind of some of the speakers in the past and kind of the exciting, really, really exciting lineup you have coming up in August, less than a month from now.
That's correct. Well, actually, this is our eighth annual forum coming up August 26th and 27th. This started out as a vision of Mr. Jim Blanchard, who's the retired chairman and CEO of Synovus. And he said the greatest investment or the greatest gift he can give to the community is an investment in leadership. He saw what we were just discussing about how important it is to give young leaders, young up-and-coming community and company leaders, an opportunity to be exposed to the best and the brightest minds in the world. And so he wanted to bring speakers that we talked about earlier. These are people that you can put their face on a billboard and you don't even have to put their name underneath it because they're so well known, those types of people to our community. And over the years, it started out as just the first year it was a small 300-person event. It was invitation only. It was at our conference center. And the next year, we doubled the number, and it's gone up steadily after that. And so we say we have 1,000 leaders, 7 world-class speakers and infinite networking opportunities, because it really is a small enough crowd that you can network and you can grow just from the people that you're meeting and greeting in the community as well as the region, but also to hear from people that you just would not ordinarily have an opportunity to sit in a room with. And unlike some of the events that we've all attended where there were many, many tens of thousands of people in the audience, and the speakers were so far away you couldn't recognize them, these are opportunities for people to actually come up, shake their hands, get a book autographed, and be close enough that they actually feel like they've been at the event with these speakers. In our recent past, we have had our keynote speakers have been President George W. Bush. We had Laura Bush, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of State Colin Powell, Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, General Abizaid, General Honoré, who headed up the Katrina effort. We had General Petraeus. Some of our top military leaders in the world have been at our forum. And every year, the idea is that we would every year we've attempted to have a variety of speakers so that there's an author, there's a senior business leader, a CEO, a top military leader, a top political leader, so that there's something for everybody in the crowd. Others that we've had, of course, we've had Dan Amos, head of AFLAC, Dan Cathy from Chick-fil-A, then we've had wonderful authors that we mentioned earlier, John Maxwell and Patrick Lencioni and Richard Florida and Daniel Pink and Randall Stevenson from AT&T and Malcolm Gladwell. And so the list goes on and on and on. We've had William Payne, another Georgian. And so we've just really brought some of the best and brightest minds in the world. Thomas Friedman has been at our event. And so we feel like we've done what Mr. Blanchard set out to do, which was to bring those minds to Columbus. Now, this year we're very excited because we've probably got the strongest strongest business lineup that we've had in many years. Our kickoff evening is Monday evening, August 26th. We have Captain Mark Kelly, who was the commander of Space Shuttle Endeavor, and his wife, Gabrielle Giffords, who, of course, was the Arizona congresswoman who survived that deadly shooting in Arizona and has gone on to just become an inspirational person and author. Captain Kelly will be doing his normal astronaut motivational visionary talk that night, and then
tell him what he's going to do the next day for us as well.
Yes, and he is going to be speaking to 800 third graders.
Wow.
At the university the next day, all about his ambition. And he has a book called Mousetronaut that's a kid's book. And so he'll be sharing that with the kids. And that's going to be a great opportunity for our community as well. So we think that they will be, unlike some of our political leaders, they are just going to be a really inspirational team and how they have come together as a couple to overcome so much. Then the following day, we are thrilled that we have Alan Mulally, who is the president and CEO of Ford Motor Company, terrific leader in our country, very well respected. We've got also David Novak, who's the chairman and CEO of Yum Brands Incorporated. It's the largest fast food franchise in the world, and he's one of the top five CEOs in the world. Very excited about both of them. John Stankey, who's the group president and chief strategy officer of AT&T. Major General H.R. McMaster, who's the commanding general at Fort Benning. Of course, a tremendous leader in our own community, commanding our military base. Dr. Tom Mullins, who is an author and former coach and founding pastor of Christ Fellowship Church. He is a very motivational, upbeat type of speaker, and I know everybody's really going to enjoy him. And then I believe your favorite.
Can't wait.
Yeah, is Seth Godin. And he is, of course, the world's foremost marketing provocateur. And if you've ever been on YouTube and seen any of his talks, you'll know that he is one of those men that just makes you really stop and think. You know, he says things and then you think, I'm going to have to ponder that for the afternoon, because he just really, even very intellectual people, he causes them to pause and really think about what he said. So we think that's a powerful lineup, and we're so excited about it. you can register online for the event. We sell tickets, individual tickets, and we also sell tables of eight. And individuals can come in on Monday evening. We have a reception and dinner. Wonderful opportunity, evening of networking and inspiration. And then it kicks off the next morning at 7 a.m. with breakfast and a full day of speakers and book signings and, of course, a great lunch as well. So we would love to, any of you listeners, we have people coming from Canada and all over the United States to this event. This is not a Columbus, Georgia event. It's definitely a regional, if not national, event.
We have a lineup as good as ever appeared in New York City or Los Angeles or Paris, France, for that matter. Again, having been a sales and marketing person my entire career, I've always sought out those kind of minds to try to follow from Zig Ziglar and Dale Carnegie, who really wrote the essential book everybody's hopefully read at some point. But 2 years ago, Malcolm Gladwell, his talk on education at your conference, I still tell people about it. It was so amazing, and I'm sure that Seth Godin will be just as well. And for those that aren't familiar with Columbus, Georgia that much, Fort Benning, Georgia is part of Columbus, Georgia, and Fort Benning is where the officer training school is, where everyone from General Patton and any general or any officer you can think of has been to school there at some point to become an officer in the United States Army. My oldest son is a graduate of the school there and served a tour in Iraq, and he's real excited about the general being there, and he's going to try to come down with me for a day. So it's just really going to be something for everyone, and certainly Representative Gifford, Gifford's for all she has been through, and her courage and her tenacity, and her the fact that she doesn't hold any bitterness towards anyone. I mean, that's going to be inspirational. I got goosebumps sitting here thinking about it.
Right. Yes, we're looking forward to having her. And one thing I wanted to mention about the audience is it is a mix of all types of leaders from nonprofits, corporate, healthcare, education. We have a group of students who are in the audience. So it's really all ages, all levels of leadership. We've got CEOs of some of our top companies, and we've got some up-and-coming leaders and young professionals from our community. So if you're a CEO and you'd like to bring your team because you'd like to develop that next group of leaders, it's like Ed was saying, it's so important to invest in them. And what a wonderful way to say, I value you and I care about you, so I'm going to give you this opportunity to go and hear from these great leaders because I think you're one of our company's future leaders. I mean, what a wonderful way to reward somebody who's been really working hard by giving them that opportunity.
Yeah, and some companies bring their boards.
That's true.
As well,
true.
To reward them for their efforts.
Others bring their clients because they're wanting to wow their clients and thank them for what they do. So it's really it's a great cross-section of people. And I think anyone, it's the type of an environment that anybody can walk into and feel comfortable and enjoy the experience and network and make new connections, both personally and business-wise, and make a difference.
My first time I attended, not only did I feel like it was old home week because, you know, got to see a lot of dear friends that I don't get to see that often living here in Atlanta now, but I got to see a lot of people from Atlanta. People that I do business with every day were in Columbus for the conference. Amelia Fox is one of them who hopefully Amelia's planning to be down there again this year. And I was with some folks the other day who are all coming down. So I really urge anyone to make the time, and on the Booth 61 show with Ricky Steele that's you can find online, there's a link to the conference, or you can go to Columbus State University and look for a link. It'll be easy to find, or just Google Jim Blanchard Leadership Forum, and you will find information about this. But I am sitting here looking at the clock, and 54 minutes have been passed, and I thought I had about another 50 minutes, and I've got probably a half a dozen to 12 questions that I really would like to go over, and so I'm going to ask the two of you if you would consider maybe coming back, maybe after the conference, and talking more about the consulting practice and the things you're doing, because this is just a blessing for me and a treat to have two folks from Columbus, Georgia sitting here with me and the great lunch we had. But hopefully you'll be able to come back at some point, because I just think we got a lot more we could talk about that I think the audience would be interested in hearing.
Well, we would really love to be here, and we appreciate you, Ricky, for inviting us to be a part of this and for your coming down to the forum each year. It's always nice to see you each year as you come down and share it with us.
Why don't you both give me contact information if I wanted to know about the consulting practice and maybe needed my company needed a hand? Ed, what would be the best way for them to contact you or someone on your team to engage you and Kim for you, your personal email addresses or how to get in touch with you for anybody in the listening audience?
Well, I think Kim could probably answer for both of us here, but just the best way is go to our website.
That's right.
It tells all about, gives us some basic information of what we do. Our contact information is there.
And at www.columbusstate.edu. Columbus State, all spelled out, C-O-L-U-M-B-U-S, state.
.edu. And then you can /, and you can put in Cunningham or leadership, or you can also go to jblf.org or Jim Blanchard Leadership Forum.com. We've got several different ways to find us, but if you put in any of those keywords, you should be able to find us. We're also on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on LinkedIn. We've got some groups on LinkedIn that we'd love for you to join and be a part of the conversation. With the forum and with our Leadership Institute. We didn't even get a chance to talk about some of the exciting things that our leadership team is doing in the experiential leadership area with some whitewater rafting experience, some chef competitions, some painting, other types of things. So you can get for those days that you really want to have some fun with your team, it's a great way to get out of the office and do that. So there's some groups and some links and some other things on our website that you can check out, and we'd love to talk to you in person about it.
Well, you have to come back. Last minute thoughts you'd like to leave with the audience today.
A leader never quits learning.
Amen.
Yep.
And we hope to see everybody in Columbus on October. We'll all be on vacation, but on August 26th and 27th for the 8th annual Jim Blanchard Leadership Forum.
Well, Kim, Ed, it's been a blessing for me to have you here. Good luck. God bless. And I'm sure it'll be a great conference, and I look forward to seeing you in Columbus in just about 3 weeks.
Thank you very much. Thanks. For having us.
This is Ricky Steele, and I've finished with my coffee in Booth 61. I hope you'll come back and join me for a fresh cup next Wednesday or by listening to any of our past shows anytime at Booth 61 with Ricky Steele. I always like to close our time together by sharing a blessing, hopefully for you, your family, and your business. The blessing comes from the book of Numbers. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for dropping by. Join us next week for a fresh cup in Booth 61.